The following is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Welcome to Life as a Life Schooler, where we talk about how to merge life with homeschooling. I'm Danielle Papagiorgio, and today we are talking to Kathy Morrissey of the Character Corner. Kathy is wife to Alan, mother of 8 children, and a homeschooling mom of 31 years. She and her husband have been married for 40 years, and their kids are all grown up, with the youngest being 21. They also have 13 precious grandchildren. Though her homeschooling days are behind her now that all 8 of the kids have graduated, she still stays busy running the Character Corner, traveling to conferences, speaking, and sharing encouragement on her blog. Her goal in ministry is to help and encourage parents to be purposeful as they try to raise their kids to have godly character and a heart for God while providing practical advice, tips, and encouragement from the things she has learned over 36 years of parenting and 31 years of homeschooling. And when she's not working, you may find Kathy playing the piano, reading a good book, or eating chocolate, which sounds like a great thing to me. And twice a week, she takes care of her sweet 4-year-old granddaughter, Tori. Welcome, Kathy. I'm so glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I've been following your blog for probably about a year or so, and I've really loved learning just from all your wisdom that you share. And I just think, you know, true Titus II women like you are just a wonderful thing when you can come across them. And one of my favorite resources of yours is the Little Lads and Ladies of Character curriculum, which I want to talk about in a bit. But first, why don't we just kind of start off with you telling us more about your homeschool journey back in the early days of the movement, those pioneer days. And how did you start? What did that look like, being on the forefront of a movement like this?
Okay. I remember when I first heard about homeschooling. My oldest daughter was just a 2-year-old, and I was visiting with my mom, and she mentioned to me something about how she'd been listening to James Dobson on the radio, and she heard about these families who teach their children at home and don't send them to school. And I remember saying to her, I could never do that. I just thought that was so unheard of, and, you know, it would be so hard. And you know how it is, God has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long before, yes.
You don't ever say never.
That's right. Don't ever. And before long, people at church started circulating some books by Raymond and Dorothy Moore about homeschooling. And the more I read them and talked to my husband about it, the more it made sense to us to teach our children at home. And so we decided that, you know, when she was a couple years older, we would go ahead and start doing that. And in the meantime, we would prepare her by just training her to have good character that was like Christ and learn lots of scripture to build her faith. Now, when we started, it was still kind of a newer thing and it wasn't legal everywhere. And I remember when the kids were young, we wouldn't let them go out during school time. We had to be careful about that. Since then, things have changed a lot. Most states are pretty favorable, and you don't have to be afraid. And there's also a lot more resources and support available now for homeschooling parents.
Right, which I think sometimes can be kind of a double-edged sword in a way, because parents kind of start to use the curriculum as a crutch, and rather than really looking and seeing who is this child and who has God designed this child to be, they sort of rely on checking the boxes, following the scope and sequence, and all that sort of thing. So I'd love to hear your take on that. And just with not having all of those resources, what was that like? Do you feel that really kind of helped you in that way?
I think it did. And honestly, academics was not my biggest reason to homeschool. So it didn't bother me that I didn't have a lot of curriculum choices. We did a lot of just natural learning through daily life. I mean, setting the table, we would count. You know, we would learn colors through cereal, you know, what colors are your Fruit Loops? And we focused more really on the discipling of our children and preparing them for what God wanted them to be. And that, you know, what that looked like varied per child by what their interests were and their abilities. And I would say if it was just for the academics, I would have just sent them to school because anyone could have done as good of a job with the academics or probably better than what I did because that wasn't my focus. I mean, yes, I wanted to prepare them for life and to learn what they needed to, but at the same time, I was not enslaved to the curriculum or even the scope and sequence that a lot of people followed.
Right. Well, that's so good, and it's so freeing. And God really honors that when we seek Him first. He adds all of these things to us, and our children do get what they need.
Right.
So I love how you said that you practice counting by putting out the silverware, because that reminded me, with my youngest, every day at nap time, we would do a little bit of math just counting out the books, because I would let him take 6 books to his bed and have some quiet reading time. So we'd count out the books, and then as he got a little bit older, we'd do a little subtraction or addition. Okay, now you have 4 books. How many are left? How many more do you get? And it's such a practical way of doing academics, and it means something to them. It's not like just drilling them with addition facts, because it's hands-on and it's real life. So it makes sense. It makes sense to them.
Exactly. And I think that's really important when you have kids who struggle with math and they don't understand the abstract. You know, you have to show it to them. And why it's important to know this, they see that rather than just saying you have to do these pages or these problems, they realize, oh, to bake, I have to understand fractions.
Right, exactly. Right, so I think, tell us a little more, I guess, about how did you kind of avoid bringing that school model home then? Because so many of us just do what we know. I mean, was that hard? I know you said that your focus really was on the relationships, but it's so rare, I guess, to see somebody that really understands that right from the get-go. But then again, I guess the pioneers, you kind of did have that viewpoint more, because you were really going against the grain, just even homeschooling to begin with.
Right. Yeah, and I think that it helped us, too, that we heard some speakers, because back then the focus was more on the discipling of your children. It wasn't all about just the academics.
Right.
And when we first started, I think, or started preparing, I was busy looking at, okay, what can I use to teach my child to read or to do math? But then we went to a conference, and I also read a book by Ray Ballman called, I can't remember the name of his book now. It will come to me later. But anyway, he wrote a really good book about homeschooling that talked about the importance of training not just the mind, but the heart and the soul. And that our goal is to, you know, lead our children to Jesus and then equip them to serve Him, lead a godly life. And then our job is to prepare them to fulfill His purpose and plan. And that's what our goal was. We wanted to build our children's faith. And we wanted to build godly character so that then they would go on to fulfill God's plan for them. And part of that was doing some of the academics. And I think as they got older, we probably did a little bit more of the book work that was needed, but we also let them pursue their interests.
Right.
But when they're younger, especially, it's about leading them to the Lord and His purpose for them, and then building that character that they need.
Exactly, because that's foundational, really. I mean, all the rest is
it is
fall apart if you don't have that solid foundation of character and godliness and knowing the Lord, really discipling our children. It's just so crucial.
Exactly. Right. And I really think that the reason a lot of homeschooling parents end up frustrated, stressed, and burned out is because they have those priorities out of order. They focus on academics first. Mm-hmm. And they haven't laid the foundation there of building their kids' faith, which gives them a desire to please God and obey God and become like Him. And then they haven't trained them in godly character. So, you know, if your kids don't have, like, if they haven't learned to be attentive or obedient, it's going to be very hard to teach them anything. In daily life, you're going to just have conflict. So then homeschooling's not fun. You don't enjoy being with your children because they don't have that character as a foundation to build on.
Right, exactly. And really, when you think about it, if our goal as parents is to raise our children for their purpose in order to serve the Lord and glorify the Lord, because really that's what we're all doing here on this planet, is we're supposed to be glorifying the Lord, then, I mean, it's just common sense when you think about it.
Exactly.
They need
yes.
to love the Lord first before they're even going to want to use those talents and gifts to glorify Him. They have to learn to love Him first. So, and then you work on developing those skills and those academics and areas of particular giftings.
Right.
And I'd love to know what that book is too, if you do think of it, because I think it's so important. I wanted to mention this, that as moms, we have that continuing education. I mean, we're teaching our children how to be lifelong learners, and we're encouraging them in that natural love of learning. So we need to be doing that ourselves, and this is our focus right now as homeschooling moms, is our children and raising godly children who will serve Him. So we need to be learning all that we can also, and just staying fresh. And that's why I think it's so important for homeschooling moms. And it saddens me that so many moms now are not going to the conferences. They're not learning. They're just sort of doing things the way that they were done to them, and just doing this whole school at home approach. And I just think it's so important for moms to be attending the homeschool conventions in particular. And I'll just drop in a quick little plug for our conference, the Life Schooling Conference, and you're actually one of our speakers this year, which I'm super excited about.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. And I just think it's so important for us to be constantly sharpening ourselves and just revisiting things, seeing if there's any place where we're deficient in what we're doing. So,
Yes, we can always grow. In fact, I always tell parents that one of the things that I probably learned, one of the most important things I learned over the years of homeschooling our children, was just my need to grow. God was using it to grow me while I was trying to build my children's faith and character. God was working on mine as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. I mean, He gives us our children not just so we can train them, but so they can kind of train us in a way, you know.
Right.
And,
yes.
And so many moms don't have that opportunity, so many parents, because they're sending their children to the school system, and so many hours out of the day are taken up and taken away from them to be with their children and to disciple them one-on-one.
Right. Yes. And that's one of the biggest things that influenced us and led us to decide to teach our children at home, was the realization of how many hours they would be under someone else's influence if we sent them to school. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, even if it was a good Christian school, still someone else was taking that place of influence that God gave to us. And we wanted to be the ones that were pouring into our children and shaping their values and pointing them to God every day.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, who better to do that than the people who birthed them? I mean, you know, they've got your genes. So.
Right. And who knows them best and loves them best.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more, what were some of the specific gifts that you saw early on in your children? How were you able to tailor their education around those and developing those gifts?
I would say the biggest area for all of my kids was the area of music. We're a musical family. My husband sings. I sing a little. He's more of the singer than me. I play the piano, and our kids all loved music, probably because we did a lot with music, but they did well right from the start. I could tell, like, my daughter, my oldest daughter, did very well in piano, so we started her on piano lessons. She ended up learning to play the violin as well. We did a lot of singing together. We would sing scripture songs every day, which just helped my kids learn how to sing and also get the Bible into their minds.
Yeah.
But then we used that. We would do programs at the nursing homes where they would sing. We also wanted to build their faith with lots of scripture memory. So when we did these programs, they would recite a passage of scripture. And we also wanted to encourage them. Most of my kids were pretty outgoing and had servant's heart, and we wanted to really encourage them in that area. One of the greatest commandments is to love others, and that was part of the thing why we did the nursing homes. We wanted them to reach out to those people who they could encourage. And we also would go to visit widows from the church and kind of do the same things. They would recite scripture, sing to them, make little cards of encouragement. And so we encouraged them in that way. I also had a couple that were kind of artistic, which they did not get from me. So I tried to provide resources, just, you know, simple books that showed them tips on how to draw. Or my mom was really good at art, so sometimes she would work with them a little bit. And just lots of supplies so they could experiment and learn. Because really, a lot of times all you have to do is give your kids the tools and, you know, they'll run with it.
Right.
And then I had one who really loved to write and was always writing and creating stories. And one of the things I did with her is to help her develop that. And it also was a help to me. Often when we were having lunch together, I would have her tell a story to the kids and she would just make one up off the top of her head. And it kept the kids very occupied during lunch. They were busy eating and listening. So lunchtime was enjoyable and it helped her to just develop that creativity. It, you know, gave her an opportunity and it challenged her. So those are some of the areas. And I think, like my oldest son is a missionary and he really did good with memory work. So, and also with speaking. So we encouraged him to work with his younger siblings. Like he had a little club. He called it the Kids of the Morrissey Household. And he would meet with the younger siblings and he would actually preach a little sermon to them. And he would encourage them, you know, in the behaviors that he thought they needed to be improving in. And often, I didn't realize this until one day, one of my younger sons had just, he'd been giving me attitude problems and didn't want to listen to me. And my older son was observing that. So when they had their club that week, he talked about the importance of obeying and honoring your parents and, you know, how you should have a good attitude and do what you're told. And I noticed the next week that my younger son was doing better in that area. So I commented to him and said, you know, you're doing so much better in obedience and in your attitude, your respect. And this makes me really happy. And I know Jesus is happy because you're really pleasing him. And he looked at me and he said, well, Mom, you know why? Because when we had our Kids of the Morrissey Club the other day, he was talking about how it's not pleasing to Jesus when I don't obey or when I have a bad attitude with you. And so that was just the way I honestly feel that was the beginning of God preparing my son for the ministry that he's in today.
That is so, neat.
Yeah. And I love that. The other thing is we also always told our children when they had conflicts, which is very common for our kids to have conflicts with each other. There, you know, there's personality differences. They're together all the time, and they're humans, so they have their selfish natures. But we always told our children, God gave you the siblings that he did for a reason. He wants to shape the character of you and all of us by the character traits that are in each of us and the personalities. And my oldest son, in particular, was really good at working well with a younger brother who was not easy to get along with. He was what I called a prickly child, very disagreeable, kind of hard to like, you know, he just didn't make you want to spend time with him because he would argue if something was black, he would say it was gray or, you know, but my older son did really well at usually being able to handle that and being the peacemaker. And one day he came upstairs after being in the basement with his difficult brother, and he was clearly rattled and stressed. And he said, I just couldn't stand it. I had to get out of there. He's driving me crazy. And so I had him sit down. I was doing something with one of the other kids. And I said, well, sit down. Let's talk about this. And I told him, I said, first of all, you did the right thing by leaving before you said or did anything you shouldn't. But then I went on and said to him, you know, I understand that it's hard for you sometimes to get along with your brother. I know he doesn't make it easy. And I know it's hard for you sometimes to like him or even to feel love for him. But God gave you that brother just the way he is to develop character traits in you that he wants you to learn for the future ministry he has for you. And I said, I really don't know what God has for your future, but maybe God's going to call you into the ministry. And when you're in the ministry, there's always at least one or two people that are just hard to get along with. And no matter what you do, they're hard to please. I said, so maybe God's preparing you for that. I really don't know. And sure enough, God called him into the ministry.
Wow.
And he's very good with people. He learned so many people skills just growing up in our home with his siblings and especially his brother. And then he just continued to grow in that area.
That's neat. That is a really neat story. And I just love how you handled it too. And, you know, it was really interesting. I was jotting down when you were talking about your kids and their gifts, particularly when you started talking about music. I started jotting down all of the things, the different, I guess, subject areas, if you will, that covered. Because I think so often we think of these subjects as though they're in this box. And we have to do this box, and then we can do this box, and then we can... And it, when you really allow your children to find their passions and really pursue those, so many of the boxes get just naturally taken care of and checked off. So you were saying music, and I wrote down ministry, serving, I mean, going to the nursing home, public speaking. I mean, what a great opportunity. So many... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but so many moms feel like they have to enroll their children in some sort of public speaking class or something like that. But it's so natural. If you just incorporate it into what they already love to do, find creative ways of doing that, and you've got all of that covered, and it feels more comfortable to them because it's in the context of what they love to do.
Right. Yes.
And then, of course, Bible, hospitality, and then... just the positive encouragement. You're talking about your son doing that little club. I mean, I just think that's such a wonderful way to encourage their natural giftings, or that natural leadership skill, you know, because clearly he had that.
Right. So, yes.
It's just a wonderful thing. And I think moms need to be encouraged in that way, to not be so afraid that they're not going to get all the subjects covered. Because it happens naturally.
Right. Well, and I always like to tell parents, too, that I think, you know, most of our kids will end up with a few gaps in their education. They do if they're in school, too. So instead of stressing about it, realize that if they have the character that they need, then they can learn whatever they need to when that time comes. Because they've got the character. They've got that foundation.
Right, exactly. And the thing that always gets me is who says that they have to know this particular body of knowledge by the time they graduate? You know, I mean, who came up with that? It's not handed down on stone tablets. It's just what people decided made sense. And so every child is individual. So to me, it doesn't even make sense to think that they all have to have this exact same body of knowledge. And all of us are still learning. None of us have arrived at any point in our lives. So,
that's right. And a good example of that is when I went to my doctor, a few months ago, and I was asking him about something on my blood work. And I said, so does this mean this or not? He goes, just a minute. He goes, I have to go get my book. And he went and looked it up and said, yes, that's what it means.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was just such a great reinforcement to me that a medical doctor who's been practicing for years still goes back to his books to get answers.
Right. Well, and the humility to just admit that, too.
Right. Yeah,
that. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break for a commercial, and then we'll be right back.
Homeschooling moms, do you ever feel burned out, wondering how all those other moms seem to get it all done? Caring for family, helping at church, running a business, and homeschooling their kids? Well, I want you to quit homeschooling. Yes, I'm serious. I'm Danielle Papagiorgio, and I'm inviting you to attend the free Life Schooling Conference so you can learn to merge life with homeschooling. You see, homeschooling never used to look this way. The homeschool pioneers understood that real life and academics didn't have to be segregated or mutually exclusive. They knew how to incorporate learning into everyday life, teaching with a focus on their children's unique giftings, so they could be free to learn and grow into the unique individuals God created them to be. And I've invited some of those homeschool pioneers, as well as wise moms and dads who are currently homeschooling, to share some of this life schooling wisdom with you. Online, July 11th through 13th, there will be freebies, contests, and more. To learn more and to sign up, visit www.lifeschoolingconference.com. I hope you'll join us and learn to merge real life with homeschooling.
Okay, so I also love your focus, Kathy, on building strong character, which we have been talking a lot about, but I wanted to talk more about some of your specific resources that you do offer on your website. We love, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast episode, we love the Little Lads and Ladies curriculum, and I use that with my 7-year-old son daily. Even during this time that I'm conference planning, when we're really not doing a lot of academics, we sit down together in the morning and I go over that week's character trait and we just talk about it. And we've just loved it. I just feel like it brings in, it makes me more aware and him of that character trait throughout the day.
Right.
And so, Right. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun and something that we've found very valuable. But just share with us a little bit. Tell us more about that curriculum in particular and how you came up with it, where that came from, and then just some of the other resources that you feel would be really helpful to our audience for their own families.
Okay. I actually wrote two of the Lads and Ladies. The first one is a preschool early elementary one called Little Lads and Ladies of Virtue, okay. And that has 24 weeks of lessons, 5 days a week. And then the second one I wrote is Lads and Ladies of Wisdom, which is kind of the sequel. It's a little bit of a different format, and it's for elementary. You can use it from first grade all the way through sixth, even a little older probably, depending on your children. Mm-hmm. But the reason I wrote these is because we really wanted to focus on character with our children. But when they were young, I couldn't find anything, any character curriculum that was fun. I used some that were really good. Like I loved Character Building for Families. It's a great one, I think, for older kids. Very good content, but it's just teaching where you just read to them, talk to them, read verses, and then talk about it. And my kids did well with that, but it's I wouldn't say they looked forward to character lessons every day. Like, oh, good, this is going to be fun. It was just something we did, and they didn't question it. So I wanted to create something that where you could start when your kids were pretty young, where they'd start being introduced to character traits, Bible verses that related to it, and then know how to practically apply that to their everyday life. And that's why I wrote those two curriculums. And I included hands-on activities and role-playing, because I think the role-playing is what shows them, okay, so this is the positive that we're looking for. This is when you're not showing the character quality we want.
Right.
And the kids remember it better that way, and they enjoy it. I've heard nothing but good reports about these books from parents because their kids love it. They love it. Mm-hmm. They're easy to use, and they're enjoyable. The kids look forward to it. And by the time they're done, they've learned quite a few character traits. And I always say the one thing is always go back and do obedience about every 3 months.
Yeah.
That's the one that all kids seem to struggle with.
Or but, every other week.
Right. Sometimes. Yes. And I also tell parents, sometimes when you're really having a bad homeschool week with your academics, take a break and remember, wait a minute, the academics aren't important. Let's go back to some character training here and focus on character the whole time, you know, get things back under control because then you can move forward. Another resource that I usually recommend when I talk on this topic is Training and Correcting the Heart with Scripture. And I suggest that for a couple reasons. One is because I feel that part of character training is done through correction and discipline. When your children show that wrong behavior or wrong attitude or actions, words, whatever, it's so easy to get irritated and think, okay, they're interrupting our teaching for the day or our lessons or what I'm trying to get done. And we get irritated and we yell at them or scold them or tell them, just knock it off, you know better. And we wanted to show our kids, we didn't just have these rules in place in our home because it's what we wanted. You know, we thought it would be great to make you guys obey us or whatever,
right.
Or to be kind. We wanted all of our rules to come back to what God says was right or what good character is, which is being like Christ. And so when they showed something that wasn't right, we wanted to take them to God's word and show them why and what he said about it. So, for example, if one of them was maybe not speaking in a kind tone, we would say, or, you know, was just being really mean with their words, we would call them aside and say something along the lines of, I know you love God and want to please him, but you know what? God isn't pleased when you talk like that, when you're not being kind or you're not using your words to build someone up and encourage or breathe life into them. Let's look at some verses that will help you and see what God says about this. And the reason I wrote the book is because in my case, often my kids would show a behavior and I would think, okay, I need to take them to scripture, but I couldn't think of one off the top of my head. I would think, oh, come on, I know there's one somewhere. Oh, never mind. And I would just yell at them and say, stop it. You know, don't do that. You know, because I didn't want to take the time to go find a verse. And so this has studies that you can do on the common wrong behaviors like anger versus self-control, where they can look up scripture with you and compare them, Bible examples and results and consequences. And then there's also a list that's the favorite part for most parents at the back of the most common behaviors that our children show that we correct them for, and then several scriptures for each that you can look up with them and have them write down, read, write, or, you know, however you want to use it. But that to me goes back to building their faith as you're building their character. So they kind of go together.
Right.
So those would be my most foundational resources, I think.
Well, it sounds like a really, that second one, it sounds like an excellent resource. And really it is about getting to the heart and not just the rules.
Right.
Because we want our children to know, like you were saying, it's not just about what mom and dad want. It's about pleasing the Lord. And
right.
And
yes,
taking that time, I think, really shows them that we care about them, that we love them. We're not just, you know, just like you said, yelling at them and trying to get our way. We really want
right.
to help them and help train them for their
yes.
own good.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we fail to communicate that to them, and they really mm-hmm. do just think that we, you know, want to take away all their fun, or we want to make
right.
their life difficult. We have all these rules. We don't get to do anything fun. And so it's really important that they do realize, no, it's because they want me to have God's blessing, and his blessing comes from obedience to him.
Right, exactly. I think that's often what leads to rebellion, is when they don't realize that we love them, that we're doing these things because we love them, and to get
right.
to their heart. So
right.
important.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I wanted to talk along those lines a little bit more about just building these strong relationships. And one of the things I wanted to talk about in particular, that you had an article I read recently called How to Really Know Your Children Well. And I
right.
thought that was such a helpful article. So I wanted you just to share a little bit more about that, because if we're going to get to the hearts of our children, we do need to know them better. We need to take that time to build the relationships. So share a little bit about that, if you would.
Okay. In that post, I talked about the fact that we can live with our children. Of course, we do live with our children, but that doesn't mean that we know them. And we can also homeschool our children and be with them every day, but not really know the inner person. It's easy to get so caught up in doing what we need to do every day, getting the teaching done, taking care of the home and all those different things, mm-hmm. that we really don't have that relationship. We don't take time to nurture the relationship that will help us win their hearts and build those strong ties, which then gives us the opportunity to influence their values and point them to God. When we have their heart and we have that relationship, they trust us. They know that we have their best interest in mind. And so they're much more open to our teaching and our influence. So I think I shared in there just four things that are very simple things, but so often we forget to do them or just don't even think about it. And the first one is very simple, but talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I don't mean the talking we do, like, did you do your schoolwork? Did you do your jobs? Or go do this or stop doing that.
Right.
I'm talking about where you actually talk to them and have a relationship where you share things, like share what God has shown you that day that was exciting or encouraging. Share with them something you're pleased that they did or what makes you happy. A lot of times we fail to communicate to our children how they can make us happy, and they think they're always catching me in doing the wrong.
but they never seemed to notice when I tried to do right. And to me, that was something I struggled with because I wanted so much for my children. And I would see every mistake they made. And one day God spoke to my heart with one of my difficult children. I was just jumping on her about everything. And he spoke to my heart and said, if you don't find something to encourage her about, she's going to give up. And I realized at that point that I had to look for it. And part of that came to just talking to her and getting to know her more and understanding where she was coming from. Often I would take things as an attitude problem when it was really something she was struggling with that came out with what I thought was a wrong attitude. I remember one time in particular when this happened, we were riding home from church together, and I was trying to have a little bit of conversation with her, and she was being kind of non-responsive, just kind of a grunt or a yes or a no, or even just a head movement. And in my mind, I was thinking she's being really rude, and I was kind of irritated at her and thinking, what in the world? Why are you having such a bad attitude? And we got home, she went straight up to her room, and I went upstairs to get something. And as I walked by her door, I could hear her crying. So I knocked on her door and I went in and asked her, what's going on? What's wrong? And she went on and told me about how something had happened at church that was very hurtful to her. And I realized right then, I took her silence or her lack of response to my conversation as a bad attitude when she was actually hurting. And that comes from knowing your children. And that's one of my things is listen to them. And I don't mean just what they're saying, but listen to the heart behind what they're saying. Often by what they're saying, they're communicating fear or hurt or discouragement. And we have to listen to what our kids are saying to catch that. And along with that, observe them. Like if I had actually been watching her countenance and looking at her, I would have been able to see something's off. She's down. Right. Her countenance is fallen. But I wasn't. I was too busy trying to make conversation and too busy being offended because she wasn't responding the way I thought she should. And I kind of just think it's a great idea to challenge yourself to study your children and know them. Just try to get inside their mind and know what makes them tick, what makes them do what they do, and how can you motivate them best? What excites them? And find what they get excited about and talk to them about that. That's the best way to open up communication with your children, is getting on those topics that they're interested in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I remember there's a lady at our church who's kind of a gruff, hard to get along with lady. And if you didn't know she was like that, you would think she just doesn't like me. And I remember thinking that at first, and then I realized, no, that's how she is. But I want to break through that shell and get to know what's inside of her. I want to break through and get her to actually talk to me. And I found the magic key one night when I asked her about her grandkids. And all of a sudden, this lady who didn't hardly talk and was all grumbly and cranky just lit up and started talking to me about how wonderful her grandkids were. And it was nonstop. And I realized that's what we need to do with our kids. You find that topic that is near and dear to their heart, and you ask them about it, and you show an interest. You be excited about it like they are, and boy, you're just going to open up conversation, which then leads to that emotional closeness that you're looking for.
Right.
So, yeah. Right. So those are the four tips that I would give on that.
Well, I love that you shared that story, Kathy, because I feel like I could have shared it.
Really? Okay.
Well, yes, because, I struggle with the same thing. I see every little thing. I don't know what that is, but I find myself doing that same thing and wanting to root it out and fix them. You just need to work on your attitude. And so quick to just judge, like, well, they're just having a bad attitude. And, I mean, I've been through that exact same scenario just about. And it's been so helpful to me when I finally recognize that I have to listen. I have to, instead of jumping and rushing to judgment, I need to stop and listen to why.
Right.
Sure, the surface level, yes, maybe she needs to work on having a better attitude in certain situations or whatever. But getting to their hearts and showing them that we really care about them And that's the real issue. Not all of these externals are important, yes, but ultimately it's because we care about them. And the way we show them that is by truly listening to them and hearing right. their hearts. And I just right. love how you're sharing about finding that thing that's important to them. That's another thing that I learned. I actually took my daughter on a girls' weekend, I guess it was last year, in the spring, with the uh-huh. express purpose of just getting to know her better, of just right. being with her and having that special girl time. And one of the biggest things I took away from that was just how important it is to enter their world. You know, right. these teenage girls, sometimes we can think that they're, you know, emotional or certain things we don't necessarily connect on because we're in the adult world and they're in the teenage world. But
right.
entering that with them and having fun, just being right. goofy and silly.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
It connects your hearts together. And
right.
we just had such a good time. And I think it was really a crucial moment in our relationship that helped to build that trust and to open
right.
open the doors to communication better. And,
right.
and I think another thing I would say, too, I just love that when you heard your daughter crying, you went in and you really talked to her and heard her out, because I think it's easy, too, for us to sort of just get exasperated with
right.
that time. I mean, their emotions are crazy. And
right.
I mean, let's be real. Some of it is kind
right.
of dumb.
Right. I know. Exactly.
It's
like, okay.
Snap
here's
out
a tissue.
Of it. You know, we want to roll our eyes, but that's not
right.
how Jesus would want us to respond. This,
right.
to them, whatever's going on in that moment, I mean, it's funny because my daughter's very logical, but she's a regular teenage girl. But there'll be times she knows she's not necessarily being rational and that her feelings maybe don't make sense. And it even will annoy her.
wow.
But she just needs me to love her through that and to just
right.
not get exasperated.
Right, exactly. Because that just makes it harder for them to deal with those emotions.
It does. It does. And then they feel like we don't really care. And it just puts those walls right back up that are hard to get down once they're up.
Right, so, right, yeah.
So just really important for us to listen to our children and hear where they're coming
right.
from. So what would you say, as a pioneer, and you're looking at all of these years that you went through the homeschooling world with your kids, and now you're on the other side of it as a grandmother, what do you see today, in your opinion, as one of the biggest problems in the homeschooling movement?
I would say that the biggest thing that I see going on now, just from speaking to moms at conferences or from emails I get from my blog and stuff, is I think homeschool moms are too busy. I would say that's one of the greatest enemies of homeschooling.
Yeah.
We try to do everything. We want to prove that homeschooling works. We want to do just as much as the next person's doing. We want our kids to excel. And we just keep putting more and more pressure on ourselves as well as on our children.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we're fatigued. We end up burning out. Sometimes homeschooling moms quit because of that. But if they don't, the fatigue and the stress of it all then leads to damaged relationships, because you're just not getting the things done that you know are important. And so you snap easily. Mm-hmm. You're impatient and frustrated. And you often end up neglecting the priorities that you really started homeschooling for, because you're so busy doing other things that
right.
seem like good things, but they're being done to the neglect of those things that are more important.
Right. There's a lot of good things we can be doing, but is it really
exactly.
the best?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And you can't homeschool if you're never home.
No, so. No. Yeah. I see that as a big problem too. Just, And all of these extra classes and co-ops and all of these things that we think they have to have, it just,
right.
it makes us too busy. We've tried in our homeschool to be very intentional about
right.
not signing up for things. So
right.
we'll sign up for something if we really feel that it's important to this child's particular bent or, you know, the things that we really feel we need to, we will. But it's very rare. It's very few and far between, because we want to be a home schooling family. We want to be together. and right. have that opportunity to just do true discipleship. So
right, yes. And that's where I think that was part of the beauty of us doing the ministries together, where we would go visit at the mm-hmm. nursing homes or the widows. It was something we did outside that got us out of the house and mm-hmm. into ministry, but we did it together versus everyone going their own way. Now, right. I will say when the kids get older, into their older teen years, of course, their paths will start to, you know, go different directions as they pursue what God's leading them to. But especially when they're younger and in the early teen years, the more you can do together, the better. And the more you're home, the better.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think it's wrong to have some outside activities, but I think it's, mm-hmm. you have to realize that every time you say yes to something outside of the home, you're saying no to your family or something in your home for your family. So
right.
choose wisely.
Exactly. That's a really good way of putting it. And just the whole comparison thing that you mentioned, comparison's such a killer.
It's a joy stealer.
It is. We think we have to look like everybody else. Well, you
right.
can't. You can't possibly look like everybody that you admire because, I mean, we're all doing so many different things. There just aren't enough hours. So
right. And the thing to realize, too, that a lot of homeschooling moms don't think of is that each situation is different. They see
right.
a homeschooling mom who seems to be able to do so much more than they can do, or they think, you know, their kids never have bad attitudes, or they just love to do everything, and they don't realize that each situation is different, and they don't
right.
see the bad ever. We just assume that we're the only one who struggles sometimes, and
right.
we think, you know, we should work harder to be able to be more like them. And
right.
I remember the first time the comparison thing really hit me when we had 3 kids, 5 and under. We had actually just started doing a little homeschooling. They might have been 6, 4, and 2, I think. And we were homeschooling. We were friends with a homeschooling couple that had 2 kids that were a little older than ours. And she was telling me one time we got together about how she loved to take the kids to the library and how great it was to go together and pick up books and all this. And I was thinking about our last trip to the library and how horrible it was.
Mm-hmm.
I had taken all 3 kids. The baby cried the whole time. The toddler was pulling books out the shelf and the older one was saying, can I get this book? Can I get this book? And I got home and told my husband, oh, that was awful. I'll never do that again. So here's my friend telling me how she loved it. So, you know, I had that little twinge of guilt, like, oh, I'm not a good mom. I should, you know, take my kids to the library and enjoy it. Well, then the next time we got together, she was talking about their field trips and how they went on weekly field trips and loved it. And I'm at that point, I'm thinking, there's no way field trips just aren't going to happen with the kids I have and the ages. It's just too much. So I told my husband, I said, I feel bad. Like I'm not a good mom. I'm depriving the kids. And husbands usually help you put things in perspective really well. And
yes.
he said to me, Kath, you can't compare yourself to them. You have to remember, they only have 2 kids. We have 3. Their kids are older. And the thing you're forgetting is that her husband works second shift. So he's at home with her half the day or more. He goes with her to the library. He goes
oh.
with her on these field trips. So that's a whole
that's
different
story.
That's
totally different.
Yeah, but that just really showed me, you never know the other person's story. It may
right.
look like they're doing so much, but you don't know their situation. So
exactly.
you can't compare. You just can't.
Exactly. And social media doesn't help with things either because
right.
we're seeing everybody's
everything's
shiny
picture perfect
side.
On social media.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, share with us, Kathy, as we close, where can our listeners find your resources and learn more about you and what you have to offer them?
Okay, you can find me blogging at thecharactercorner.com, and you can also find, I have a Facebook page called The Character Corner, so just put The Character Corner after the Facebook.com, and you'll find me there where I share daily just simple encouragement that we all need as moms. I also have a group, a Building Godly Character group that you can find from my main Character Corner page. So you can find lots of encouragement and resources there that will just help you stay purposeful in your parenting.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us today. This was a really wonderful conversation, and I know that it's going to be a huge blessing to everyone who gets a chance to listen.
Good. I hope so.
Absolutely. And that's Life as a Life Schooler. I hope you'll join us next time, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode.